Shirley.
And this is Big JD's Uncle Brian.
And you're listening to the Jabbercast with
Big JD and Lippo.
Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
And that's Kiwi in the background.
Is it ever? Didn't really start until the show started, actually.
It's been quiet in here, that's why.
He hit the record button and all of a sudden, boom.
He digs it.
Wow.
Nothing new here.
So what's going on? Beautiful day. Saw the kids take off in the van.
What?
In the van.
Oh, yeah. They went to Bell River to go get some coffee, they say.
Oh, yeah? Like, go to Timmy's and get coffee?
Go to Timmy's and get coffee. Because they made, like, the hugest pot of coffee here last night before they went to bed. But they were partying somewhere.
Right.
I suspect that coffee doesn't taste all that good. I think they all had one cup.
Why, they just make another pot?
That's too easy.
Yeah. It's a nice day, though, for a little drive.
It's a beautiful day. Probably one of the most beautiful days
of the
year.
And the kids hanging out together? That's always nice.
Yeah. I don't know if Jonas has much of a choice right now.
Why?
I don't know. I could get into that, but I don't know. Okay. I don't want to get into that right now.
All right. Well, that's cool anyways.
Jonas is being more tolerant. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Being the older brother and all.
Good for him. And he's not that much older, though, is he? Only a couple years?
18 months.
18 months. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Pretty close. My brother and I are 4 years apart.
Yeah, that's the way it was in my house, too. We were all at least 4 years apart. So, I know exactly how you feel. The relating to each brother was difficult, to say the least.
So, we're supposed to have a week of beautiful weather. And it's about time. The weather here has been crap.
Pretty much. As far as springtime weather goes, it isn't what it could be. Wow. People slamming doors. Opening doors, pulling some
Somebody
strings.
Must have just got fired in the studio.
You're out of here! You're fired!
You're fired!
So, what about you? What's going on with you, Big JD?
Not a heck of a lot.
No?
No. Same old, same old.
Really?
I go see my mom after this, though. My mom and my brother. For coffee.
There you go. And where are you meeting them at?
Timmy's.
Well, I know
Bell
that.
River.
You going to Bell River?
No. No, the one downtown on Olette.
Olette and Erie?
No.
No?
Out by, on the way to the expressway.
Oh.
It's only one now. Erie, there was one on Giles, remember that?
That's what I'm thinking of.
Gone. John.
Right.
Only because of the size of the lot, you know, obviously. They never tear a Tim Hortons down once they put it up. The money maker from day one, always. Doesn't matter where you put it.
Right.
I'll take Lana for ice cream later.
Ice cream?
Yeah.
What are you eating that crap for?
Well, she wants ice cream. Marble slab.
Marble slab. And where are you going for that?
The one here.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you're going to drive over to the States?
I'm waiting to go back to Partridge Creek, you and I, so I can get the $2 Taco Bell meal.
Yeah.
That's amazing. $2. You get everything for $2. I love that idea.
And last time we were in there, I was telling Kim about this yesterday. There was crazy lady in there who was like, I want my food that I threw away last night. What are you talking about? Out there. Some people, and the thing is, she was there with her daughter and her daughter's kids.
And well, they wanted a free meal.
Well, the mother bought the kids food and everything. It was the mother who wanted some food for free.
Well, once you pay for the kids and everybody and the grandkids, you got no money left for yourself. So you got to try and get it free. Hey, I found a hair in here. I always carry hair with me just in case.
I carry hair with me. Yeah, so do I. I carry hair with me all the time.
I don't know if I told you, but maybe I did. My Gibson acoustic guitar I had brought to Jay Swatman to get some repair done on it.
J45.
J45. Is that what you call them?
Isn't that the model?
Oh, no. J50.
Oh, it's a J50.
I thought you were talking about Jay. Yeah, I brought it to J45.
Hey. J is not 45.
No, J50. And
he probably is close to 50.
Yeah, probably. I found out that the year in which I thought it was apparently wrong. I thought it was a 63. He found out that it's a 69.
Wow. And is that
I've always loved that number. Well, sure. Like the number.
Well.
I've always been partial to it.
I have to think that a 1963 J50 is more expensive or worth more
money.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was kind of a toss-up between a 61, 63 at the time when I found out. And but I guess, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that I found out how the serial numbers work, that it was part of my serial numbers. And for he said no. He said the way that the neck is on, at the headstock, where the headstock's actually joined to the neck, you know, where they meet.
Yeah,
he said like that. He said that it's a little bit later headstock than what I was thinking, and he found out that it was 69. He said, I think 69 and later they made them like that.
So yours was one of the first of
that new style
of headstock joint.
And man, did he do a fantastic job! Never sounded better since like I got it. Fixed my bridge, lowered the action, put on some new strings, adjusted my truss rod. And he said that not the tuning pegs, but the posts,
yes.
He said they were so loose. He said they're ready to fall out. I said, yeah, I never even would have noticed when I strung it up. He said, no, a lot of people, they just don't notice that they're actually loose. He said he fixed it all up, and it's beautiful. Just exquisite.
It's the kind of work he does.
The most pleasurable thing to play ever. It always was, like, good and sounded good, you know what I mean? But the action was always high enough that... I don't know about always. I can't remember way back. I probably wouldn't have thought so, but over time. And I never really realized just how bad my bridge was. I had a slit in my bridge. It was cracked.
Wow.
The actual bridge. So the actual wood part of the bridge, and then there's the actual bridge, you know what I mean? Like the piece there. And that piece was actually leaning forward. Honestly, making my action lower than what it would be if it was straight up and down.
Oh, right.
But he fixed it all. He said, yeah, you got to do that now, he said, or you're going to end up losing that original bridge. And I said, yeah, do whatever you got to do, man. Just do everything. Fix it. Make it all perfect. And you can't even really tell anything anymore. Just perfect. Like new.
Like new.
Yeah, it's like new. And does it ever sound great? I can't get enough of it.
That's good. So it's out, so it's cool. It's in your studio getting played
right now. It is, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So when I go there,
I do have that lovely Washburn.
What about the Ovation?
Oh, that's what it is, yeah. Doesn't one of them make the other now, anyways? I think.
Are you making stuff. Me?
It's all junk. Took my uncle to... I was actually going to call you and see if you had a used 57 for sale. My uncle wanted a microphone because he's going to be calling hoedowns. And so I took him along to McQuaid's to get a brand new Shure SM58. And he ended up getting an Apex for like under half the price.
Sure.
With the attachments and clown noses and everything.
Yep, I can believe that.
He wanted an on-off switch.
Why?
And just because of the fact that other people will use it, and to make it easier to just shut the mic off and put it down kind of thing. He said that's what they're used to. So he wanted that kind of mic, like with it, you know, and he wouldn't get it with that. You'd have to use from a board or something wherever he's at, and he didn't really know all the details of everything. So he wanted one with a switch, and they said, get one of our mics.
As in Yorkville Sound.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that's all related somehow, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I think Long & McQuaid's is...
Yeah, if it's off-brand like that, like it's something that's made that owns Long & McQuaid's, because doesn't Yorkville Sound and Long & McQuaid's, they all...
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
All owned. I think,
yeah. So, and the Apex mics are all right. The dynamic range is basically the same, but the SM58 just really has a name.
Sure does.
And quality that stands the test of time.
That's the test of time thing. A switch on your microphone, they never stand the test of time.
Not really. That's always going to be, at some point, it's going to, yeah. You could probably get some out of this.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's what's up with that. Anything up with you? Anything else that we should know about before?
Well, last week. Oh, no. I was going to say last week we did the show ahead of time and I played golf, but that was something else.
Oh, and you were in the paper. Celebrity.
Again, yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
So you were in a couple times then.
Well, the first one, I won. I was the winner of my division.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was in the paper. This time I was only
third. I didn't know that. Then I didn't know about that one.
No, you didn't.
Why? Why didn't you broadcast it everywhere?
I think
special show.
I think I might have mentioned that I had won some cash.
Mm-mm. No, because I would ask for some.
Oh.
No.
If you need some money, let's talk after the show.
Yeah. What's the return rate?
25%. Yeah, the first one I won, and I won like $300.
Yeah, cool. I think I do remember.
Okay. Whereas this time I came in third, and I won a skin, and I came in third, so I got like 40-something. So $75 altogether.
You won a skin. What's that? You get your skin back?
Yeah, before you start playing, you get your foreskin chopped off, and then...
You get it back after.
You get it back.
Nice. Otherwise, you lose it forever.
You lose it, yeah.
Oh.
No, a skin, you know what a skin is.
No. On a drum head.
Well, there's skins in lots of games, but...
Is there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
Is this a skin in hockey? Skin in football?
Yes, there is skin in football.
The only skin I know is when you scrape your leg on something.
Ooh, I skinned my knee.
So what is it?
Well, there's four golfers golfing, and if one guy gets a lower score than any of the other guys, he gets a skin. But if you don't, if there is no winner, you move it on to the next one so that it builds up.
Okay.
So eventually you get a skin. And the way that we work skins at the Bogey Golf Tour, everybody puts in $5,
mm-hmm.
and then they see how many holes there was a winner of.
Right.
So, you know, some holes there was no winner, some holes there was a winner. Usually there's between 4 and 6 skins per 18 holes. The one that I won the $300 that week, there was only one skin in my whole division, and I won it. So I got everybody's money.
Nice.
Whereas, like last week, everybody puts in $5, and then they split it up mm-hmm. five ways because there was 5 skins. So that's...
5 skins.
As opposed to foreskins, yes.
Yeah, that sounds rather interesting. What did you do with your original winnings? Did you do anything special with it because you won the golf thing, or did you just like...
No, I let them keep it. It's in my account, so then I don't have to pay for my future tournaments.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, I'm just going to let them keep the money till the end.
So who keeps it, actually?
Mr. Todd Grondin.
Oh, yeah?
Of Grondin Financial.
The treasurer?
He's the organizer, yeah.
Of what? Grondin what? Financial?
Grondin Financial Services, yeah.
Oh, I guess you got to be able to trust him then.
I trust him as far as I can throw him, but it's...
There you go.
I mean...
What's his name again?
Grondin. Todd Grondin.
Todd Grondin. I think I used to, if I'm not mistaken, played hockey with him when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
He'd be around your age, yeah. He's a little younger than me, I think.
Todd Grondin. And if I'm not mistaken, he was pretty good.
More than likely, he seems like...
I think he might have had a sister, too, who went to high school with us.
Okay. I don't know.
But yeah, I think the team that we were probably on together was Valenite Modco or something like that, where, you know, some machine shop team through Riverside Minor Hockey.
Yep.
And probably in the neighborhood of, I played for 5 years. I was probably done when I was 12. So I'm going to say like early on sometime.
Obviously, yeah. You weren't playing minor hockey after 12?
No, I was playing major hockey, major road hockey.
Did you play road hockey after that?
I did, yeah. I played, well, not in any professional road. We used to play out in my neighborhood.
But why would you quit at 12? I'm just curious.
I think what it boiled down to was that it came a time where I was going to need all new equipment and my parents couldn't afford it, really.
Okay, so it was the money.
Because I kind of grew out, yeah.
That's what it was in my house,
too.
They would
have to buy all new stuff. And I know my brother stopped, too, and he went into... Played football, or sorry, baseball, I think, for like one summer.
So I need is a glove.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. And then me, that was it for me.
That's a bummer, because I think I would have learned how to skate myself if if my parents could afford to buy me some skates.
But it was a good run. I was not any good anyways. So maybe that had something to do with it. Listen, yeah. We've been paying for you for 5 years.
And you suck!
Yeah. I think one time they threw me in goal because the goalie wasn't there or something. Oh, right, or it was one of those things where I don't know what happened. And I think that the score was like 30 to like 1 or something. Goals there. Left and right. Like, I ain't getting hit with that thing, man. I'm dodging it. Not catching it.
from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling. It's time for news from around the world and sometimes out of this world from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
And here we are in the newsroom, the Jabbercast studio newsroom. I had a couple little things here. One is Bono's back. Surgery. Bono's back surgery.
Bono's back surgery.
Yeah. U2 announced on their site today that frontman Bono recently had emergency back surgery, which means their upcoming tour dates could be in jeopardy. And the next leg of their 360 degrees tour. So what's that mean? They going all the way around the world?
And that's just one leg.
Set to begin June 3rd in Salt Lake City. But it's unclear for now whether they'll be able to make it. Once his condition has being assessed further, a statement will be made regarding the impact of the forthcoming tour dates. Their website says, I guess.
Are you going?
No. No, I'm not.
You're not going to see the U2?
No. U2?
I'm not going.
Drew Barrymore. She tried her hand at directing last year with the little scene roller derby comedy Whip It. But now Drew Barrymore will attempt to refresh a classic, The Wizard of Oz. The Golden Globe-winning actress is reportedly set to direct a sequel to the 1939 film called Surrender Dorothy, which follows Dorothy's great-great-granddaughter as she tries to protect Earth and Oz from the presumably resurrected Wicked Witch of the West with the help of those famous ruby slippers. No word yet from Barrymore on the project. Oh, I haven't heard from her yet.
So that's cool that they're not redoing it. They're just taking it to the next thing. The next, like, then some kind of post show, a sequel.
Well, I don't know. It says Drew Barrymore will attempt to refresh a classic, The Wizard of Oz. Global Moon actress reported to direct a sequel.
Yeah, we heard
to direct a sequel.
Sequel.
I don't know. I don't know if that was there anything. Yeah, I guess it's not anything that's been done before.
Well, it's not the old story. Is all I'm saying. I thought she was going to redo The Wizard of Oz.
Oh no! It's. But I wonder if the actual sequel that she's doing is being redone. Because there's some old films, man. 1939? I think 39 was the original black and white silent thing. Wizard of Oz, wasn't it? Wizard of Oz, the real one. When was that done?
I'm going to say that was...
60?
No.
50?
40.
40?
I can look.
Okay. Because the original Wizard of Oz had Stan Oliver in it. Stan Laurel. No, Oliver Hardy. Sorry.
And he played the Tin Man.
Ollie. No, I don't know what he was. He wasn't dressed up in anything.
Oh.
Just had coveralls on, I think. I have it. I have that movie.
Coveralls
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, he's too big to wear anything else, I think.
Wow. It was 1939.
39 was the one that we all know and love?
It's the one we all know and
love. Okay, the other one must be like 1929 or something.
25.
There you go. 1925, silent with Oliver Hardy.
There was also one in 1914.
Oh, maybe that's the one I'm thinking of. What one's that? Was that the one with Ollie Hardy? Is it saying there?
I can find out if you would like me to.
It's not a big deal. But
The Scarecrow of Oz is what it was called. And the... no, Oliver Hardy is not in there.
Not in the early one.
Violet McMillan, Frank Moore, Pierre Krudek, Fred Woodward, and Mildred Harris.
Oh, Mildred Harris was in that? Wow. Must have been good.
I never heard of any
silent
of those
acting.
Beeps. I thought it was 19. When you said 1939, I'm thinking that's the original one, I think.
That's what I thought, yeah. I didn't realize the other one was made that early.
Yeah.
And color.
Color. First color.
And sound and everything.
Really?
Had it all.
Yes, it did.
And what's her name?
What's her name?
That played Dorothy.
Oh, that's...
Minnelli.
No.
Liza.
No.
Dorothy. Ann M.? What was her name?
The Wicked Witch of the West.
Judy Garland.
Thank you.
The Wicked Witch of the West. Any news from your end?
Oh,
speaking
actually,
of your end, we could slide right out into today's topic.
No.
I'm kidding.
Let's try to avoid the topic altogether first.
Yeah, let's just fill it up with some waste.
The waste? There's nothing.
Whoa.
I don't waste my Sunday mornings. That's just not going to happen.
Too late.
No, plane crash in India. Did you hear about that?
No.
People survived.
What kind of plane? Indian plane or American plane?
737. It was an Indian plane.
Okay.
But it was a brand new plane.
Mm-hmm.
Flew from Dubai to...
How many people? Hundreds.
166 were on the plane, 158 died, so 8 people survived. And it was a fluke of nature that... Not a fluke of nature, but it was a fluke that they survived. And I guess they skidded off the end of the runway. And at the end of the runway, there's a ditch or a cliff. They call it a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the plane broke apart, when it went over the edge, people flew out. And those are the people that survived.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a wow kind of
thing. That's just crazy. And that's before the thing even took off?
No, this
basically
is landing.
Landing.
So, yeah, that's crazy stuff happening there in...
good pilot there, eh? Some good training.
These guys, the actual pilot had 10,000 hours.
Is that good?
That's a lot of hours.
Was he Dubaian or Indian?
He was Indian.
Yeah.
What's
would you want
mean?
An Indian guy flying your plane?
Sure. He's the guy who tells me how to fix my computer.
Well, yeah, that's different.
Is it really?
Yeah, you're on the ground. No, I don't know. There's no reason why anybody that can fly well could not be flying a plane. But I don't know, man. That's pretty crazy, though. Overshooting that badly.
It is crazy, and we have no idea what the actual reason is.
But they never will, eh?
Oh yeah, probably.
Did the pilot survive?
No.
Or do they have to go down with a plane like captains with their ships? And I'm just all confused over the
animal waste
public
show.
Public waste show. That's what we should have done. Public waste.
How come we didn't do that?
Voyeurism waste, and we could have gone out and did some filmed ourselves. Excavating in various areas.
Littering.
What do you call it? No, not littering. Not excavating. What do you call that when you go poop somewhere?
Go poop?
No, there's a name for it. It sounds like excavating.
Excreting?
Yeah, maybe.
You want to maybe tell the folks why you sound so different this week?
Yeah, I've got one of those new high-power, super-duper 2015 super mics.
Super mics.
I don't know. Do I sound that different?
A little bit.
It's I'm using a headset with a mic on it, and it's not like a good one. It's an Altec Lansing, but it's just a, you know, like a computer type style thing. I was trying to see if I could. I had everything packed into a briefcase. My computer and this stuff and everything all fit nicely in this little thing that I was going to bring, and it didn't fit in the bike, and so I couldn't. You know, but anyway, I still had that down in the garage, and that's why I just threw it in my bike side bag and brought it anyway. But I wanted to try this and see if it worked and how well it might have worked. In the end, I think it'll sound fine, so I don't know.
It'll do in a pinch.
Yeah.
More than a pinch. Actually, I was considering getting a decent set of something as well, something with a headphone and a microphone.
But you got to get the real deal. Guitar Center, you can order $200.
What is the real deal, bro?
The real deal is a broadcast set, the Audio-Technica PSH-15s or whatever they are.
Audio-Technica, really? Is the real deal?
Yeah. There's a few different ones, but they're probably around the less expensive or the least expensive ones.
Right.
Like that are around $250 or whatever. The cheapest that I've seen them now is $200 at Guitar Center. You can order it. They don't have it inside that I know of.
Okay.
I've never seen them there and looked last time, 2 times I was there. But they're probably good. I mean, they have a good dynamic response. Probably they're pro broadcast, and they have one has a 1/4-inch jack for your headphones, stereo, and the other one has the mic end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, the thing is interchangeable, the mouthpiece, like for either side. You can switch it around.
That's good to have. Yes.
And full over ear cans. So, yeah, that's what that's all about. Anyway, so that's cool. And moving on. And today's show is on animal waste.
Now, okay, I got it.
The show everyone's been waiting for.
It's we
don't ask.
We have to ask.
Okay.
I mean, if it's such a weird topic, why animal waste?
Well,
something must have said, oh, that's going to be an interesting show. Let's make that a whole show.
Well, animal waste is it's can be important.
Well, there's a lot of things that are important that are just not very interesting to talk about.
Well, it can be rather interesting. You got to consider things like, well, there's all kinds of legislature and things in place for animal waste because of our water and polluting.
Yes.
And then all the gases that can be admitted, emitted. And then there's the, what else is there? There's all the things that can be done with the waste. It's fun to play in. No, not to play in, but I mean all the things that can be made from animal waste. There are things that can be made from animal waste that they make from animal waste that you probably enjoy every day and don't know it.
I can't wait to hear it.
No, it's not necessarily something that you enjoy. And then software companies, you know, that comes into play mildly. And then there are things that, you know, just things that pop into mind are how that gets controlled and how it doesn't get controlled. And the things that we do with animal waste and how we control pet animal waste. You know, those kinds of... There's all kinds of things about animal waste that we're going to talk about today. It's going to be fun.
Thanks a lot for the explanation.
So, animal waste. Let's talk about all animal waste. And human animal waste is...
Animal waste.
Human waste is animal waste. Feces spelled a few different ways. Waste product from an animal's digestive tract expelled through the anus during defecation. That's what the word I was looking for, defecate. We could defecate all over the place, like voyeurism style, and film it for the show if we did a video podcast. So everybody's lucky we don't do one.
You're out of hand. I turn the cans down. Is that all right with you?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The word feces is plural of the Latin word, I don't know how to say this, feces, meaning dregs. And there is no singular form in the English language, making it a plurale tantum. Do you know how to say that? Did you ever take Latin?
I never took Latin, but I dated a Latin girl once.
Did you? So, and there are many other terms for feces, obviously, such as shit, crap, turd, poo, poop, number two, dookie?
Dookie, yeah.
Dookie, yeah. I've never really heard. Duty.
Well, the Green Day CD. Dookie.
Yeah, but I've never really... heard that used before, though.
I think you're too old.
Duty. I was always under the assumption it was duty, like go do your duty, D-U-T-Y, a duty. But it's duty, D-O-O-D-Y, duty. And then there's terms such as dung, scat, spoor. Do you ever hear that?
Say it again.
It's kind of nice. Spoor.
Spoor.
Yeah.
How do you spell?
I just spoored. S-P-O-O-R. Droppings. Normally, and these ones are usually referred to as animal feces, though, scat, spoor, droppings, and things like that. So we'll talk a little bit more about maybe which ones come from which animal. Stool is a common term normally used in reference to human feces. For example, in medicine, to diagnose the presence or absence of a medical condition, a stool sample sometimes is requested for testing purposes.
It's always good to get your stool checked every once in a while.
Yeah, I had a stool testing kit when I was a kid.
What?
No. I'm just kidding. So what is actual animal waste then? Farm animal waste comes from livestock, poultry, and dairy production, and it can be manure from farm animals or the byproducts of meat processing. It can also be the waste byproduct from inland fish farm aquaculture.
There's aquaculture, a nice word. I like that word.
Aquaculture, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Something. Animal waste from meat processing includes hair, blood, feathers, skin, bone, hides, beaks, fat, and fluids. How does that happen? A bird takes a dump and there's his beak? How does that even happen?
Well, you don't really know?
No.
Because what McDonald's does to their chickens...
They feed it dung.
No.
And they feed all the crap. No, what do they do?
No, they take the beaks off the chickens.
Bust it off, yeah. Okay, snap it.
Because they're in such tight quarters
right.
that they...
Oh, there's no room.
They peck them off. And they end up getting sick with the infection and stuff because they get pecked off. So in some... chicken coops, the chickens still have their beaks and they peck at the other chickens next to them because they want some space. Give me some space.
Right.
So they end up eating some beak of their neighbor.
Yeah, see, I didn't know that. You learn it right here on the Jabbercast.
Did you see Food Inc. yet?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
They didn't really have anything about beaks.
No, they have nothing about beaks, but you saw the whole situation there. It was...
Pits of animal manure are commonplace on a farm and are useful for cleanup and storage of waste. However, if not properly maintained and ventilated, these pits of animal manure can generate 4 potentially deadly gases. Ammonia.
And they are.
You got your...
I have nothing.
Ammonia.
Yes.
Carbon dioxide.
Of course.
Hydrogen sulfide. And methane.
Yes, the methane is the bad thing.
Yeah, but I think it can be used as a good thing, too. So,
can you get high off it?
They can also cause explosions. I don't know. Can you?
Methane gas. Well, yeah, if it's under enough pressure, it can definitely cause an explosion.
These can also contain bacteria and nitrates, which can contaminate drinking water and cause human illnesses.
That's right.
So that's something that is very, very important within all this and because why we need to really, you know, spread this around.
Spread this around. Well, that's what happened in, what was the place called? Water. No,
Dubai?
No.
Runway? No wonder he slipped.
The place in Ontario where the people died because they drank bad water that was...
Speaking of which...
Contaminated with
E. coli and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to mention this in news, but I have to do it later. I could have done it another time, but it's new news. What's up?
Fred's telling us it was Walkerton.
Oh, Walkerton. Okay.
Walkerton, Ontario.
Yeah, that's right. That was the big one. That was the first one.
And that's why a lot of legislation went into place because of Walkerton having to deal with animal waste and water management and all that stuff.
Thanks for that, Fred. I watched the Flintstones this morning. Did you see the animal that was pulled up ashore in Thunder Bay, was it?
North.
That's pretty
lake
wild
somewhere,
looking,
yeah.
Right? Odd-looking creature.
It looked like a gargoyle.
Yeah, like a devil of some kind.
With
skin
hair.
Face and hair body.
Yeah, I don't know if the skin face...
Well, like a pig skin type, you know, probably had thin hair, like...
I wonder,
short hair,
I wonder if there was actually hair on its face at one time.
I think there was hair on the... I don't think there was hair supposed to be on the face.
Right.
But I think it probably is like a fine type hair. It's not skin like us.
Right.
It's
but fuzzy.
Pretty evil looking thing.
Evil, yeah.
I think it's just a crossbreed of some kind
It had the tooth thing. It was like,
yikes. Had a nose ring?
nose ring.
I think it was a crossbreed somehow of some kind of wild boars or something. I mean, it's obviously can be explained somehow. You know what I mean? It's not from... It isn't the devil. He's not here yet.
And he's definitely not washed up on the shore of some Ontario lake.
I wonder how that thing died, though. Almost 2 trillion pounds of animal waste are produced per year nationally. An increasing amount of this animal waste is produced by intensive livestock operations, which are really more factories than farms. Common animal waste treatment practices used by these livestock factories are often inadequate to protect our drinking water.
Oftentimes,
yeah. We don't know what we're drinking. It's just, who knows what that is, right?
Do you have a filter system on your water?
We do, to some degree. It's not on the, it's in the fridge thing. There's a filter.
Okay.
But.
And that's usually where you get most of your water, right out of your fridge?
Pretty much. That's where we use it. And if it's boiled water, it doesn't really matter. You know, and then we use, grab from the sink. AWM 2.3 is animal waste management software. Hey, I bet you didn't know that existed.
What, say that again?
AWM 2.3. AWM, Animal Waste Management Software, version 2.3, available now?
No.
You're fine. For PC only.
PC only.
So no wonder you haven't heard of it. Otherwise, you'd be playing around that. Animal Waste Management is a planning design tool for animal feeding operations that can be used to estimate the production of manure, bedding, processed water, and determine the size of storage treatment facilities. Probably that are required. The procedures and calculations used in AWM are based on the USDA and the NRCS Agricultural Waste Management Field Handbook.
Wow.
Important stuff for farmers.
Of course.
And man, I thought they'd just throw some seeds in the ground, man. Go pick it at the end of the year. A lot going on there.
No. And you're in the midst of the farming country right now because at a certain point in the year, you'll definitely smell manure in the air because they lay it on the fields before they do their planting to refertilize the ground. Fred says, I read that man is the only animal on earth that poops it in its own drinking water.
I do that all the time.
Well, yeah.
Protein shake.
Protein shake. Oh, and you'd shake it up, do you?
Let's go have some fun.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
All right, set us up. Nirvana?
It's some Nirvana. It's not too easy to find a related song on Animal Way, so I came somewhat close with, I think this is on their...
Nevermind.
It wasn't on Nevermind.
No, wasn't it?
No, I don't think so. In Utero, I believe, okay, was the album, and this is called Territorial Pissings.
Mike LaPlante's Border City Radio Podcast. Visit www.bordercityradio.com or search Border City Radio at the iTunes Store.
Yeah, just also want to make sure people knew that there's another Wicked Angel CD coming out in the near future. I don't know when exactly. Hopefully the end of July, but I'm still working on it.
A new Wicked Angel CD.
Yeah, Volume 2.
Volume 2 of
remastered stuff from way back.
Exactly.
This is going to contain some real rarities, too, I think. Some pretty rare stuff. Some things that we never even played live or anything, but that we actually recorded.
And it never
kind of neat, nostalgic-like. Yeah, and the only reason, I don't know why it really didn't. I think just things changed and the song kind of would get lost in transition or something.
Sure.
But we did some songs that we never actually recorded. There was a couple that we... one in particular, I think, that was supposed to go on the Cotton of Ice CD and never just got cut from it, really.
Right.
And so things like that and some really old early 80s stuff. There's an instrumental we did way back when that I have it in two-part pieces. I have the best recording that we did of it got cut off.
Okay.
But I actually somehow have from there on in another recording from a rehearsal. So I'm going to try and put that together somehow. And
is it worth it?
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a rare, pretty...
That sounds very rare.
Type of, you know, it's something that people never heard before from us. So
obviously,
it's kind of kind of neat, sort of. If you're, into that and collected and traded metal back then and stuff. And
yeah. I wanted to ask you, what album would you say that would represent Wicked Angel's peak musically?
Oh.
When they were the best, when they were the rockinest. That was.
Well, we had some things that we had put out, you know, back in the day or whatever, but I'm going to have to say volume one of the remastered stuff. Really. I mean, it's, that's all that old stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was thinking in terms of the band.
In terms of the band, there was a tape that we released in, like, I'm going to say 1985 or something like that, called Canada's Heavy Metal Exhibition. Mm-hmm. And that was a pretty good representation, because it had the, you know, like, it was a second thing that we did, and it was kind of the, everything was kind of just sort of based on that. It was the, you know, came out after the original stuff we did, and it was from there, it's where we went on to, you know, as we progressed as a band and got, you know, better and cooler tunes and all that kind of stuff. And those are the bulk of the songs that we really were big for us playing live and stuff, even more right. So probably in the first one, but the first couple, two, three tapes we put out. And that's what it was back then. Cassettes.
I know. I remember.
Then later on, I mean, we put out really good recordings of some of the stuff later, you know, and I suppose you could say that is a better representation because it was recorded well, but the early stuff was the real deal, so.
Right.
That's what we're kind of going for here with this stuff, so. Anyways.
Going for the real deal. And it's actually.
Yeah, the old stuff remastered.
Right.
Just old stuff from tape.
And these, at least you get to release them on CD.
Yeah, at least it'll be a preserved digital version.
For at least 100 years, anyway.
And something for, you know, people that, who got into it back then to enjoy. And I was going to say, too, I had went to recently this place on Ottawa Street, which is really cool, by the way. I'd suggest for you or anybody to go there and check it out. Now the name escapes me, though. Something, barbecue.
Smoke and Spice?
Smoke and Spice, that's it. You been there?
No, but I
very, very cool.
You recommended to
us. And so I'm sitting outside there, and my bass player who I was there with knows the owners pretty good. The owner came out, was talking to us and stuff, and apparently it's a guy who was, wow, just really was into Wicked Angel and the whole tape trading thing back in the day, and was just amazed it was me that was there and this whole thing, you know. So I told him I'd get him one of the CDs that we just that came out last year, and he was pretty excited about it. That was kind of pretty cool story, you know, just funny.
You should offer your services to be a live band, have Wicked Angel play at Smoke and Spice.
We actually are already talked to him about doing that, but with the new band, doing some kind of either playing, you know, for an event that they have or something like that, or maybe even do an acoustic thing.
JDBC, you mean?
Still into the doing an acoustic thing possibly with JDBC, me and acoustic bass player with acoustic bass.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to trying that. I've done that a little bit with our previous bass player because he had that kind of bass, yeah. And it was really cool. It was pretty neat.
Awesome.
So anyway. You know, that was called waiting. That's exactly what we did. We were waiting. So some uses of animal waste, that would be great to talk about, wouldn't it?
Sure. Well, I know that elephant dung can be used as paper.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, what they do is they take the elephant dung and they dry it out, and then they mash it up, and then they actually reconstitute it and flatten it out, and then they turn it into paper. I think they dye it, too.
Dye the elephant it. Or the
no, oh no, okay dye yeah. The actual there's a pulp, that's what that's called. Mm-hmm. Because you figure animals mostly eat like trees and grass, and it's organic stuff
they would probably make paper out of anyways.
Exactly, that's what my point is.
An adult Asian elephant is capable of producing 180 kilograms of waste in a single day. I was trying to whistle.
187 kilograms.
180 kilograms.
180 kilograms.
Could vary, fluctuate a little bit. 187, 177.
That is a lot.
It's huge. That's daily. And In Sri Lanka, they is where they came up with an innovative eco-friendly solution for turning elephant waste into something more useful, and that's the paper. And they now process elephant waste into bacteria-free organic paper. Elephants have poor digestion systems, making their dung rich in fiber. And the paper is sold, and proceeds are plowed back to the center for the benefit of the elephant's well-being.
That's good to hear that.
That's good, too.
That they're feces,
supporting. It's doing something good for the elephant. So,
Fred gave us a conversion for us, our American listeners. It's 411 pounds of dung.
Wow, that's a lot of dung. Imagine playing in that.
Playing in that?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to play.
We can wear a clothespin.
Wear a clothespin.
According to a popular bumper sticker, happens. It also happens to have the power to heat homes, cook meals, and generate electricity. At least that's the hope of San Francisco and other cities in the Bay Area, which are looking to ways to recycle and reuse animal waste as part of their mission to stop sending trash to landfills by 2020. So converting animal waste to fuel, San Francisco has become the first city in the United States to consider converting pet feces into methane that can be used for fuel, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. So if the experiment goes well, it won't be the last experiment. So there's some more good news possibly from animal waste.
So they're, what they don't want is like people who have a dog or a cat, or it would be a cat, right?
Don't throw their feces away. Keep it.
The cats poop in the litter, and then you throw the litter in a garbage bag, and then you throw that in the garbage.
Right.
Because I know that's what we do. It's one of the few things we actually throw out to the garbage is
cat. You should be saving that. You may be able to get some money from that. Ship that to San Francisco.
Ship your...
Can you use that cat manure for the garden at all or no?
No.
Doesn't work like that?
No, because it's cat food they're
it's
eating.
It's all bacterialized?
Yeah.
Then your food will be... That cat's waste.
Contaminated, yes. Whereas you get animals like elephants and cows and...
As sure as you're born, you're never going to see no unicorn. Whatever that Irish accent is. The use of chicken manure, litter, and animal feed. This is something. The following consumer information is provided by Daryl Fleming of the communication staff at FDA Center for Veterinary Medicine.
He has told a
now,
lie or
dig
two.
This. Yeah, well, this is no lie. Recycled animal waste, such as processed chicken manure and litter, has been used as a feed ingredient for almost 40 years. And hopefully that's not people. The animal waste contains large amounts of protein, fiber, and minerals and has been deliberately mixed into animal feed for these nutrients. Generally, animal waste is used within the United States where it's produced. The bulk and weight of the product makes interstate shipment uneconomical. Normally, this animal waste is used by small farmers and owners of beef and dairy herds as a winter supplement for mother cows and weaned calves. So they take all that garbage and feed it back to animals. And then we buy the meat.
That's yucky.
While the practice of feeding animal waste to animals seems unpleasant, as you've
very
displayed,
unpleasant.
The use of this product is safe as long as it meets certain specifications required by the Association of American Feed Control Officials, AAFCO.
In Chatham.
Are they in Chatham? They have to be everywhere. The regulations, standards, definitions, enforcement policies for animal feeds, ASCO has established standard names and definitions for these processes. And 74.1 is dried poultry waste, a processed animal waste product composed primarily of feces from commercial poultry, which has been thermally dehydrated.
Poultry?
Did I say poetry?
You said poetry.
I might have said poetry. Yeah, okay, I probably did. I won't deny it. 74.2 is their dried poultry waste NPN extracted, and that's a processed animal waste product composed primarily of feces from commercial poultry, which has been processed to remove part or all of the equivalent crude protein. So I don't know why they would do that. NPN as urea and or uric acid, and which has been thermally dehydrated to a moisture content of whatever it is.
Wow.
And another one, their third one and the only other regulation, I guess, thing is dried poultry litter. And that's a processed animal waste product composed of a processed combination of feces from commercial poultry together with litter that was present in the floor production of poultry, which has been artificially dehydrated and moisturized. And I think if I'm not that yeah, here it is here. Those specifications for that particular process require that the processed animal waste products not contain extraneous materials such as, but not limited to, metal, glass, nails, and other harmful matter. So they got to clear it of all that stuff.
Really? That's nice.
Yeah, that's some good stuff to get in here.
I am just not wanting to eat a chicken again. Again.
Yeah, you just don't know what you're getting, man. It's pretty horrible, honestly. So, anyway, Tech Talk.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
So, did you have anything you want to talk about for Tech Talk in particular? I have a little something.
You got a little something, something?
Yeah, it's internet and web TV. I wanted to talk about a little bit. Google's has obviously conquered web search. Now it wants to bring... What's up? What's up, man? What's up? Wants to bring the web to high-definition television with Google TV. Coming in the fall, the Silicon Valley giant hopes to succeed in an area where many, including Apple and Yahoo, so far have failed, apparently they say. I don't know if the Apple's really failed at web TV. I mean, with Apple TV, a lot of content is from the web, and I use it all the time. And I'm sure lots of people do from, you know, but not necessarily TV, you know.
Right.
And especially shows that were already taped or whatever. But to pull it off this major change in living rooms, Google must persuade consumers to buy a new TV from Sony or a set-top box from Logitech. And pricing wasn't announced, but Google engineer Rishi Chandra says the devices will be sold at a slight premium. If you offer a compelling product, people will spend the money to get it, he says.
Obviously, Apple is a good example of that.
So I wonder what they're going to do and where they're going with it. But I think internet and web TV is cool, man. I don't need this broadcast stuff anymore. Like, it's all going the way of the net.
Pretty much. And Google wants to be at the forefront of that initiative, as well as the high-speed internet initiative as well. Mm-hmm. That's why they would like to start a new network of their own. So they know where we can take the next step too, but there's so many barriers in the way stopping us from getting internet TV on our TV, basically, from broadcasters or cable content providers. The same with high speed internet. It's all the cable companies and telcos. There's so much bureaucracy and politics involved with that.
It's
really hindering process. So a company like Google has a good chunk of cash. They want to start these initiatives out and make room for
that's what we need. That's where we need to go. Where no man has ever gone before. How do you think we're going to become aliens?
We are aliens.
Well,
to people on another planet.
Yeah, but we need to be. We need to. You know, aliens are beings that have taken technology to whatever extreme level they have, and that's where we need to go. And so in billions of years from now, we're going to be in just incredible too. Something
of course,
like that.
Of course we are. Yeah, Google had their every year they have a conference. It's called the Google I.O.
Guggenheim Museum.
That's in New York. That's Guggenheim. No, Google had their conference. It's called the Input Output or I.O. Google I.O. conference, and it's basically developers go there to develop for the Android operating system and for web development as well. And this is where they also announce any new technologies and where they're going with new ideas and stuff. And this Google TV is one of those things. They also had a thing about video as well, a new codec for an open concept codec. So there's no licensing on a video codec that you have to put up, like H.264. There is some licensing, very inexpensive. Then there's like Flash, which is the real license that, like, Adobe owns that, so if you want to use that, there's a licensing fee there as well. And there's, of course, there's all kinds of other video conferencing or video codecs out there that people have to pay licenses for. So Google's trying to make it open and fair and free and whatever, but I don't know if they're just giving us this false sense of utopianism, and then they come around the back door and say, ha-ha, we own everything, we control it all.
Hey, you're talking about around the back door in the Waste Show. Perfect.
To the back door.
This week's Jabber Quote brought to us by
Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of paper made from elephant dung. I wanted to call it elephant paper. I guess I could call it elephant paper.
You could.
Yes, get your elephant paper and your elephant ink made from urine of elephants.
Only in India. India ink.
Right here on my arm.
Whoa.
Mike.
Hey, I never saw that.
Good.
Wow.
That's the only time you get to see that.
Who did it? You? That the only one you got?
Yes. 13 years old.
Did you get the little flower on your bottom covered up?
Yes.
No, I didn't know you. Yeah. 13?
13, yeah.
Wow.
My first
steals all- dad's car out, get a tattoo.
No, it was my first all-nighter. Went to Tecumseh, and we stayed in Lacoste Park, drank some Jack Daniels, some beer, and next thing you know, I wake up the next morning out in Pike Creek with my arm hurt, and I look, oh, I got a tattoo last night. And it was my first all-nighter. I walk in the door like 8:30 in the morning. Hi, Mom. Look what I got.
Wow.
And I remember
would she
just,
slap you silly?
Oh, she freaked out. That better be fake!
Wow, I didn't know you had that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure what it said, but... Mike, you said it's Mike.
It's, Mike, yeah. It's hard to tell.
Pretty cool. I'll show you mine sometime.
Yeah, you got a tramp stamp?
What?
Tramp stamp?
Yeah. It's a thong tattooed that sticks up over the pants, like?
Yeah.
Yeah, sweetie. I got that.
Perma.
That's what I'd get, anyways.
Perma thong.
Says Big JD on it. So, anyway, this jabber quote from Robert Orban. Do you know who that is?
No idea.
I have no idea myself. And we're not even going to waste our time looking him up. There's so much pollution in the air now that if it weren't for our lungs, there'd be no place to put it all. It was hard to find something on, you know, crap specifically. There's so much pollution in the air now that if it weren't for our lungs, there'd be no place to put it all. Meaning, obviously, that we're just ingesting all the trash in the air. So much pollution in the air now that if it weren't for our lungs, there'd be no place to put it all.
So
that's where it's all going.
Right. That's
so true, though.
There's a lot of crap in here, which makes me remind you, make sure we put the chemtrail list in the show, list of show topics.
Mm. Yeah, you got to send me that.
Okay.
So I don't forget. Let me put it in my... Well, I'm going to delete these notes, but... just out of curiosity, do you have a? Did you ever have the first generation iPhone?
No.
Okay.
Whoa, that's out of left field.
Yeah,
but
it's back at Tech Talk. Yeah.
Air pollution. Do you think air pollution is bad, like out here, like in the country?
I'm going to say that. Hey, the bird cage is gone and everything. He's outside.
He's
going
outside.
Crazy.
Yeah, making noise.
Wow, didn't even realize that happened. I think it probably. Maybe dissipates to some degree what comes from across the border and all that stuff and in the city and whatnot, but I'm sure you have your share, like, you know, it dissipates and then you get this like lower level of it, but it's just as constant as, you know what I mean, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd have to be like to really get less of it, I think you'd have to be somewhere like you know, in a desert area or something, or maybe the mountains, or somewhere that's far, where it's, you know, a lot of the pollution dissipates to a degree that you're not really getting much of it. But I'm sure it's better here than where I'm at. You know what I mean?
Better than let's say, LaSalle.
Well, yeah, of course. It's definitely better here than, you know, most places you're out in the county, and it's I'm sure it's different, yeah.
You can actually smell the
pollution. Smells a little different here.
Yeah. When they're laying manure, you can definitely smell it, that's for sure. But anyway, next week's show?
Oh, what's going on for next week? Do you got that called up or anything?
called up. I got my phone in my hand.
Let me see if I can. I can probably get that really quick. Let's see. What's the website address for all the fine folks?
It's www. You don't have to put that in though. TheJabberCast.com.
And they can listen to the show there live Sunday mornings, and they can also subscribe through iTunes or our RSS feed on the website in the top right corner. We're also on Stitcher now, which we really need to play that Stitcher ID from time to time. And let me see if I can find that right now, because we should actually be playing that, like, now. But
you don't have it available. You
know, I do have it somewhere, but I just don't know where it is. And I'm just taking it. Here we go. Stitcher for the Jabbercast. Take a listen to this while we call up next week's show.
Now you can hear the Jabbercast on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, and free, on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com.
Okay, next week's show is the United States of Europe.
Sweet. That's going to be a good show.
I'd imagine you'll be prepared for that.
I don't even get it. You don't what?
I don't get it. I'm just not sure which way you... the United States of Europe. The United States taking over everything?
No.
Or conforming?
The model for Europe is turning into the United States of Europe.
Right, there you go. Okay, yeah. I just wasn't sure which way you were... headed with that, but yeah, definitely a very interesting topic, and there'll be lots of information there, I am sure.
I want to get an interview with your wife.
Oh, okay.
Or you can do the interview.
All yours. Nope. It's all yours, man.
No.
You do it.
No.
Why not?
Because she'll talk to you more.
She'll talk openly. To you just as much and as open. Probably more so than me.
I feel intimidated by her because she's such a celebrity.
Celebrity?
Yeah, the Jeff and Landon show.
Well, that is big time. I gotta say, but that's next week, and thank you everybody for listening, loving, and our show today.
And thanks to all those who joined us in the chat room, especially Fred Flintstone, who comes across with lots of useful and pertinent information.
Thanks, Fred. And have a good weekend, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.